Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, open our ears to hear, our minds to receive, our hearts to believe the word that you've put in front of us today to once again refocus and understand about the church that you have built, the church that you have gathered, and the church that you, by your grace, have made us part of. Bless the hearing and sharing of your word this morning as it's done in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever asked the question, why? I'm sure you have. And perhaps at different stages in life, the understanding you're seeking is a bit different, but perhaps you can recall back as a little kid or when your children were little and they would pepper you with that question. And it was like whatever answer you give, they would just follow it up with another, why? Why? And you can probably remember your parents or you as a parent using kind of the ace in your back pocket, right? Because, or you might say, because I told you, just stop asking why. But I think there's that endless curiosity that we have as kids and also as adults, and perhaps the more we understand why we do certain things, we stop asking that question. But sometimes as we go through life and we do certain things, someone else begins to ask us, well, why? And perhaps in those moments, you take a step back and go, I'm not really sure. And then you have to refresh your memory as to why you're doing something. There's an old adage, maybe you've heard the story of four generations were gathered on an Easter Sunday, and the tradition of the family was to have an Easter ham. And so the mom, who was the third generation, says daughter, mom, grandma, and great-grandma. So the daughter was hosting and preparing the Easter dinner, and she took the ham and she cut an end off of it and set it aside and put the rest in a pan and put it in the oven. And so her daughter asked her, Mommy, why did you cut the end off the ham? She goes, well, I'm not sure. That's what my mom always used to do. Let's ask her. So they went to mom or grandma and said, I know you used to cut the end off the ham, and that's what I do too. I go, why did you cut the end off the ham? To which she said, well, I don't know. That's what my mom always did. Well, let's go ask her. So great-grandma was sitting in the rocking chair in the family room, and the three generations walk out to great-grandma and say, you know, in preparing the ham today, we cut off the end of the ham and stuck it in the oven. And we know that your daughter or the grandma always did that. And she says, you always did that. She goes, well, I don't know why you guys are doing that. I just did it because my pan was too small. But this tradition had been passed on now almost to four generations. And the original why didn't apply anymore. Because they had a big enough pan to put the whole ham in, but great-grandma didn't. And so you come back and you ask yourself, why? And so in this series, we want to ask the question, why church? Because as I look out and know most of you, that this has been a habit of yours on Sunday morning for many, many years. And perhaps as your children have asked, well, why do we go to church? Well, because that's what we do. That's what we've always done. Or maybe as you're thinking about coming back to church, you're asking the question, you know, I'm going to give this a little bit, another try. And I'm not sure exactly why, but I'm willing to discover why. So whether you've been here a long time or this is your first visit and you're returning to church, we want to ask the question, why church? So let me have you in your mind play a little bit of a word association. If I say church, what word or phrase comes in your mind? You've probably already thought of one, maybe two, maybe three. And then you're probably like, well, here's the answer that he's looking for, right? You're trying to guess what I'm going to put in the blank. But I'm not. I just want you to associate. What do you associate with church? Because if you ask a number of different people, you're going to get a number of different responses. And I think if we go around the room this morning, we would see that. Sometimes church, you equate it with a building, with a physical structure, right? With what's in here. This looks like a church. This is a church. And we define church by a physical building. Or if we asked, why church, or what does church equate with? That you know that the Word of God is proclaimed, and we focus on Jesus Christ, which we certainly want to come back to. But as you think about that word church, and you start asking people perhaps outside the church, they say, what phrase or word would you use to describe the church? Here's some that I have heard. Irrelevant, hypocritical, judgmental, too political, homophobic. Perhaps there's another category that defines it by denomination. Lutheran, Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, non-denominational. And you start hearing some of these things, and you begin to realize that perhaps there are good reasons, even though we may personally not say it's a good reason, but if that's my perception of church, I go, why would I want to be a part of that? Why would I want to be part of a group of people that are judgmental and all they're interested in is politics, or they don't accept me for who I am? I grew up in a parsonage. I'm one of those that going to church, there was never a question. That's what we did. Parochial schools, pre-seminary, college, seminary, been in public ministry for 20 years. And I will have to admit, there are times where you're like, you know what? If this is what church is about, I can see why people don't want to be a part of it. Because the reality is, inside the church are people who are not perfect. And we say things, and we get focused on things, and we do things, and we lose the why. And it becomes something else than what God designed it. And as we portray that, I can understand why some people say, you know what, it's not for me. And people are leaving in droves. Here's a few statistics. 2 in 10 Americans under 30 believe attending church is important or worthwhile. It's an all-time low. It's 20% people under 30. 59% of millennials raised in a church have dropped out. 6 out of 10 that had church as a regular habit are saying, why do it anymore? A third of millennials have an anti-church stance. The church does more harm than good. This is maybe just one snippet, but it's not just in the millennials and the 20 to 35-year-olds. But these things lead me to ask the question, why are we doing church? What is church all about? Because I know those results or those statistics are not ones that God desires. And can I control every response? No, I can't. But I want to invite us in this series to just go back and say, why did God put this together, what he called church in the first place? Because I think it will help all of us to redefine in our own hearts or reaffirm in our own hearts why we're here. And when we hear these different things, we may just have to apologize and say, you know what? Sometimes we can be judgmental, and I'm sorry. But I want you to understand what church really is all about. So to help us do that, let's go back to the scripture where God defines for us what church is all about. And that's in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. We'll focus on a few verses all the way through verse 10. The scriptures say, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.'" Let me pause there. When we ask this question, why church? What is church all about? Let me use a little bit of an example here. Hopefully you can see this okay. Just going to put that. This scripture says that the church has as its core and its foundation a rock of Jesus Christ. Now, this is just from my backyard, so it's not perfectly, but we're going to put it right on the corner. You can see that cross there a little bit. It says, if we build on anything else but Christ, that is not the church. The term church comes from a Greek word that means of the Lord. Oftentimes in the New Testament, a word that's translated church is ecclesia, which means called out. We'll look at that in a moment. When we think of church, it is of the Lord. It is not of us. It is not about us. If I start to build on the personality of an individual, my own desires, my own dreams of what church should be, it's going to be a mess. And so as a gathering that we call church, a group of people, what the scriptures come back to and say, look at, this church has got to center on Jesus Christ. But it's not just the cornerstone, right? Peter describes now all of us. Hopefully these won't fall. Right? And God is taking each one of us, our imperfections, and building us on and around Jesus Christ. This is what the church is. But even not, it's not physical stones. Right? It says living stones built on Jesus Christ. And again, not built on a building, right? It doesn't say, well, you know, if you got the right things in your building, we're blessed here with some great church-looking things, the stained glass, the altar, the woodwork, the symbols, the pyramids, all those things are great things that communicate in different ways the Bible stories, the important things, the truths of God, the symbols that help us understand who God is. But that's not essentially church. What church is where Christ is at the center and his people are gathered around that. And that can be in the setting here. On Easter morning, we do it outside. It could be around your kitchen table with a small group. It could be wherever Christ is at the center is his church. And what God designed his church to be is where he calls people to connect with Christ and grow in their relationship with Christ and be part of this living organism called the church. So why would I want to be part of church? Is because that's where I find Christ. That's why we're here, to connect with and grow in our relationship to Christ. Why would we want to do that? Ephesians chapter 5 says this. It's giving direction to husbands how to love your wives. And it's a great model for us, not to focus today, but take to heart, husbands. But notice what Christ did for the church, loved the church, and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of water, with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. We don't want to make church about anything else other than Jesus Christ and what he has done for each of the living stones that he has brought together to make us pure, to make us holy, because that's what we need. And so perhaps as we ask the question, why church? Maybe another question is rolling through my mind, well, why Christ? If the church is built on and centered on Christ, why do I need Christ? The Apostle Peter continues, as he was inspired by God's Holy Spirit, I'm going to pick it up at verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Why Christ? Why be in a place that proclaims Christ? As Peter reminds his readers, there was a time when you were outside of God's mercy. Mercy is that undeserved compassion, undeserved love towards an individual. And there was a time when you were outside of that. And that's really our biggest problem in life, is being outside of the mercy of God, being disconnected from the mercy of God, being one of these rocks that is over here apart from Christ. And what does that look like? It looks like a person who has disconnected themselves from Christ. We realize that we're carrying a lot of guilt. Our consciences are burdened. Individuals that we don't need Christ to go through life. We're our story, like we looked at last week, is we're off doing our own thing. And we realize that our relationship with God is broken and not where he desires it to be. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. How did that happen? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, what God did is he reached out to us and he connected with us his saving work. And as he connected us to his saving work, he connects us to him to understand and to realize our biggest problem in life is taken care of, and that's your sin and your relationship with God is restored through Christ. Why be part of a church that proclaims Christ? Is because I need that reminder that my sins are forgiven. Because each and every week I add to it, and each and every week I need God's reminder that in Christ, my relationship with God is restored. Secondly, Peter says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. We've heard phrases that you'll be careful who you hang out with because you might become like them, whatever that is, whoever that is. As we go through life, we search for our identity. Who are we? And maybe we identify with what we do. I'm a mom, I'm a dad, I'm a data programmer, I'm a car repairman, I'm an IT person. But what happens when that role changes? Perhaps our world is shaken. But as we're connected with Christ, he says, here's your identity. No matter what you do in life, no matter what your role is, your identity is connected with me. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, it says, you are all sons, children of God, through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you are baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. As he connects us to him, we find our identity in Christ. Why be part of a church that proclaims Christ is because I need an identity deeper and more significant than what I can create for myself. Third, he clarifies my purpose, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Again, we go through life wondering, what's my purpose? What's my calling? What should I do? Now, this passage doesn't specifically answer that and saying, here's specifically what you may do, but it gives us a bigger purpose in life. And that's to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness. Another scripture says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it to the glory of God. It allows me to wake up on a Monday morning, a Tuesday morning, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and say, you know what? I am here to declare the praises of God. And that may be through hardship. That may be through difficulty. It may be through the best promotion you ever got. It may be through the best day of your life. Whatever that situation of that day is, we are given a purpose. And that's to declare and deflect the glory from us to our Heavenly Father, to understand that my purpose in life is to glorify God. I answer to an audience of one. You see, that can get kind of burdensome around, right? Where it's like everybody has their opinion of who you should be and what you should do and how you should do it and that sort of thing. And finally, I can go back to Christ and say, you know what? I'm going to find my purpose, my identity in Christ. And fourth, he gives me certain hope. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Why church? Why Christ? Because Christ gives us what we could never obtain for ourselves. Salvation, as the scriptures say in Acts 4, is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Or the familiar John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The hope that Jesus gives is beyond what we can create for ourselves. And we see in the world around us, you look at the headlines even this morning, yesterday, an island without power. Countries perhaps at the brink of war. You think of whatever is going on personally in your life, whether today you're carrying a lot of heavy burden and you're not quite sure how to get rid of it. Whatever's going on in relationships that maybe they're broken and you don't know if they're repairable. To be in a place and to be connected to Christ, who says, I got you. I got your biggest problem taken care of. No matter what everybody else thinks, you're my son, you're my daughter, I love you. And no matter how bad this world gets, you know you're headed to a better place because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why church? Perhaps just to put it simply, it's where God wants you to be. Not inherently in a building at 9 o'clock, but I want to be in a place like this at 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock or wherever. But most importantly, I want to be where Christ is. And where Christ is, there is his church. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. And yes, admittedly, we as human beings perhaps can overcomplicate things. And at times like this, we need a refresher and a refocus. And as we come in, perhaps there are different reasons why you came in, but perhaps in my prayer, in your heart, in your mind, why are you here? Is to connect to Christ. And why are we here collectively? Both to connect to Christ and to proclaim Christ. For we know that in Christ, other stones are brought and built together with Christ as the chief cornerstone. And why does God want them there? Because he knows that where Christ is, there salvation is found. And where salvation is found, there his heaven is populated. And his utmost desire is that all would be saved and come to a knowledge of his truth. Why, church? It's where God wants us to experience and share his love, mercy, and truth in Christ Jesus. Amen.